Hey everyone, I'm Swati Rawat and welcome to the Visionary Podcast, where I talk to visionary Indian women with inspiring, intriguing and aspirational stories. In this episode, our guests are Sujata and Tanya, founders of Suta, a growing artisanal brand that's powering the world of fashion, impact and craftsmanship through timeless saris, dresses and home decor, where each piece tells a unique story. Tune in as I have a conversation with Sue and Ta, the founder-sister duo, on their early inspirations, how they grew the brand and how they're supporting over 16,000 craftsmen and weavers through an impact-led vision.
So when we started, I think when we started in 2016 officially, and unofficially we started in 2014.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why we started this is, it is so related to, like, so linked to our childhood, because I feel everybody that they say, right, within in 5 years, the kid knows, like, the it is already made, so the kid is supposed to be this or that. We used to play a lot of games which were very entrepreneurial now that we think. Back then we didn't know what it is.
Like, what kind of games?
So the games used to be, we would make something with our handkerchief and we will sell them.
Oh.
Or we would, so we also made these that we said people who don't have long hair, they can just have hair with cloth or something, and we will just sell those in the cart.
A lot of kids play these games, but we also played things like, if you're thrown out of the house, then how do we survive?
Yeah.
Okay.
From eating jungle food to what is edible to how to make money.
Yeah.
Is what we used to play.
When we were very young.
Yeah.
So I think we used to always love that concept of selling and making something and, you know, adding value to it and giving it to people.
We also said that, remember that whenever we have a team or, I don't know how we spoke about that, but then whenever we have a group of friends who will work together, that place has to be happy. So if whatever we sell, we have to love that product. And that has to also be a happy place, and everyone selling the same thing with that much energy and passion. We should know the story behind it and everything. And there was such a, it might sound so silly then, back then it was just some game and my parents didn't even pay heed to it.
Yeah.
But we are doing the same thing now.
Yeah.
So 2014, when we decided that what do we want to do, the two things came to our mind. First is, of course, it has to be a very happy place. We have to be satisfied with what we are doing. It can't be just because we want to make money. And second, we wanted to work with weavers and craftsmen.
Right.
And that also is...
That is again linked. A story that is totally linked with our childhood, because we don't know how weaving happens, right?
Yeah.
We studied engineering and MBA, so we don't have background about design. But when we were kids, our parents used to take us to villages,
right,
to nearby villages. They used to say, this is holiday, you know?
Yeah.
They used to make it very fancy. Not that they never said that, oh, we can't go to fancy places, we don't have money to. But they would drive us there. Then there'll be a hillock. They used to say, you can climb it, it's mountain climbing.
Yeah.
And then we used to visit these looms, you know, of people. And then mom used to say, tell me what you like.
Yeah.
And then we used to select the fabric which we like, the colors. And used to take that home, 2 meters each. And during the festival, she used to say, now think what you want out of it.
She used to play the games, process, like gamify the whole thing.
Yeah.
I knew all my cousins would get new clothes.
Yeah.
And I knew we wouldn't have money to buy. But then it didn't occur to us then, because for us it was like, oh, we are like the best parents. You know, they're making it like a game. We will design our own sleeves, our own fabric and everything. So that was fun for us.
Yeah. Thick belt, puff sleeve, sleeveless, all of it. And we used to wear it with so much pride, because we used to know the entire story of the garment.
Right.
So I think that stayed with us a lot. And Ma used to always tell us, this is ikat, this is kalamkari, you know, this is made by that, you know, remember that lady was making it, you saw it.
Yeah.
So it was...
And hence our product also has a story.
Right.
If you see, we write a lot. We write a lot because we knew, we also loved our product more because we wrote, we used to know the product story.
Yeah.
And hence, yeah, everything is so linked to childhood. Now, in the hindsight, it looks like so connected. Yeah, then it just looked so weird.
So, before we move on to the next question, can you just tell the audience your name so that they can associate the voice with the name?
Our voices are same, strangely, but I am Sujata. I'm the elder sister.
Yeah.
Sue. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm Tanya. I know it's very weird. People say that I can't recognize who's speaking. Even our parents can't.
Yeah.
And but I'm Tanya, Ta of Suta.
Nice. And you know what? At least a personal story. When I first got to know about Suta, I did not know the reason behind the name. So I wondered that you sell suit sarees,
yeah,
and therefore it's Suta. And I was like, oh yeah, that's such a nice name. And when I started reading more about you, I was like, oh wow, this is this is genius.
This
what
is
you guys
genius.
Do
this actually pushed us to put our paper.
Oh,
honestly, when we're thinking what name, and I don't know who came up with it together, it just happened, Suta. And we're like, we have to like quit now, because it's like universe ka,
yeah,
sign. And my,
yeah,
name,
yeah,
is not even given by my parents.
Yeah,
somebody forgot my name while collecting the birth certificate. My dad's staff, a junior constable, he went, he said acha acha bhul gaya, baad mein change ho jayega. He put a name Sujata. So it's like, it is meant to be.
It's magical. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was meant to be. You should thank that uncle.
Yeah, I do.
So let's talk about Suta and your journey with it. So tell me, when did both of you feel like, okay, this is something that you're interested in doing? Like after you were done with the name.
Mm-hmm.
When did you feel like, okay, this is something that we're interested in doing? And also, this is the kind of story we're going to craft, because Suta has a very unique story in this cluttered brand world. I work in brand building and I know the pain that brands go through in order to craft a positioning for themselves and identity. And when I was following your brands like a couple of years back, it just felt so seamless because everything was very clear in terms of what you guys were doing. So I don't know, when did, who came up with this business idea, or was it again a collaboration just like the name? And when did you feel like, okay, this is the time that we need to quit our jobs and start doing this full time?
I tell you, Sujata came to Bombay in 2009 because she was posted here.
Yeah.
Bombay was not even a place where we ever thought that we would end up in. And she came here. I applied this city,
yeah,
saying that this is my first preference because she was here.
Okay.
When we moved here, we started living together.
Yeah.
And
I was married when she came in.
Yeah. Yeah, so. She, her husband, they just got married that year. I moved in to that one BHK and we started living together. And every evening after our work, when we used to come back, we used to discuss over tea. Do we want to do this forever?
Yeah.
You know, is this what we are supposed to do in this universe?
And
yeah,
we came
is
together
it?
After 8 years.
Yeah.
Before that, we were both like finishing our studies, hostels, work.
Right.
So we were apart for 8 years. And then we also were trying to figure out whether we are similar, what we thought, you know, we would be able to even work together. We had no idea how we both were.
Yeah.
So it's not that Suta just came suddenly. We
yeah.
were thinking of a lot of things together.
Okay.
But those, that one thing of impacting the grassroots level was always there.
Okay.
We knew, because we saw poverty, we have seen how people are making brilliant things but they're unable to sell it. We
right.
knew all of that.
Right.
So we knew we had to do something which will have a larger impact.
Right.
And not something which is like a making a corporate presentation which I don't know what's happening with, right? So I
right.
didn't know.
Right.
So that one thing was clear. But what it is going to be took us a long time.
Yeah.
We steered here and there, we were doing photography for some time and it had nothing to do with impact and we were not happy, but we're trying like our hands in a lot of things.
Right.
And then when this finally happened, the Suta, when the name actually pushed us towards that, and you know, like we've always loved that, why not this?
Yeah.
And Suta initially was not saris. Suta was initially dresses. We used to make a lot of stitch come in the pockets.
Right.
And we wanted to always solve a problem.
Yeah.
So first problem we felt is that there were no pockets, the skirts had gone out, we made skirts and things like that. But then when we wanted to get, we wanted to again go back to our impact, right? So we went to villages to look for fabric. And that's when we figured that, hey, we both love saris. We have our nostalgia because all Bengalis, we see our aunts and grandparents and everyone wearing saris. So when we went to the village to get material, we were like, Tanya, let's also introduce saris because we both love it. And it's
yeah.
also a gap in the market.
Right.
Right. Because the saris were suddenly becoming something that young girls stayed away from and said that, oh, I don't know how to wear a sari, with a lot of pride.
Yeah.
And I felt they thought that if you know how to wear a sari, you are somebody who's very homely, maybe somebody who can't work or is not fashionable.
Yeah.
So that we just didn't like it. And and I saw there's a huge gap because maybe there are girls like us who like wearing saris.
Yeah.
And we thought Suta will always stay very small because there'll be very less girls you'd want to wear saris.
And we also
and clearly like, that's not the case.
That's not,
right?
the,
that's not the case.
And you know, when she said that we always wanted to solve a problem,
yeah.
we started figuring out what the exact problem is with saris so that more people can wear saris. We realized that it's people think it's cumbersome. It's a lot of hassle even after buying a sari. You have to put fall edging. There has to be, you have to go to a tailor to get a blouse done. Petticoat matching is a hassle. You know, you have to go
to
several
different
places.
Right.
So we then thought of solving the problem. You know, I think solving the problem is what we always wanted to do. And being in corporates, though we loved our job, we stayed there for quite a bit. I stayed for seven years in the corporate industry where we had huge potential to grow.
Right.
We enjoyed it. But at the end of the day, when we thought that, you know, are we sleeping peacefully? Are we waking up tomorrow thinking that, okay,
yay,
if I have tomorrow's work day.
Super excited for Monday.
Yeah. And if I have to work on a Saturday, would I be really excited?
Yeah.
The answer was no.
Right.
And of course, and then the impact also was quite bloody. So I think that's what we led to. Let's solve a problem. Let's have some impact, you know.
But I honestly thought Suta will be very, very niche because we were solving a problem which I thought will be confined to certain girls. Like we were thinking of 25 to 35 as the age group.
Yeah.
So that was the age group. But we never thought Gen Z's will catch on. Like 18 to 25 is our second largest group of people who buy our saris.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, so we never thought it will be possible.
Right.
So, yeah.
And what kind of cities are these consumers living in? Are you seeing more of tier one?
Metros.
Guys or tier two, tier three girls and women?
Mostly tier one metros. I think it's also because online shopping.
Yeah.
But when we go for exhibitions,
yeah,
every city performs well.
Right.
Tier two, tier three. It's amazing how people love wearing comfortable clothing. And it's also very empowering to see that because it is, Suta, if you see, it's very simple. It's very no nonsense.
Yeah.
And girls who respect that, you know, that, oh, I will be more comfortable than look very, very gorgeous or somebody like it. It's not always, you don't have to think that, will I be approved? Will this be approved by my in-laws or my husband?
Right.
Then you pick a sari like that. And hence you always thought it'll be very small. Maybe working women will wear it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Right. And which year was it? When did Suta start?
2016, officially.
2016. And when? What was the year when you guys started seeing a lot of momentum and you were like, okay, this is the time to leave our jobs now?
I think since the start, because we started in 2014 unofficially, along with our jobs, we used to, it is like a pilot project.
Yeah.
16, we quit because we saw we could draw some salary for both of us. It was very basic, but we could run.
Right.
And that's when we started. 2017, we realized that the demand was much higher than the supply.
And for the first 2 years, we were only solving our supply chain issues.
Okay.
Is making sure that if people want it, we can at least supply it.
Right.
So we knew the potential is immense. And to be honest, when we realized that we have to grow, as in it went beyond our imagination, was COVID.
Yeah.
Is when it just became too big.
Yeah.
And we realized it's much larger than what we thought.
Right.
Even if we kept growing every year we were profitable.
Yeah.
But 2020 is the year which was like amazing, just blew our minds.
Yeah. And what is the kind of shift that you guys have seen as entrepreneurs and also as women in terms of the perception of saris as a garment from it being like a traditional something that older women or say married women in that quote-unquote sense wear to now younger girls kind of adopting it? Because even when just casually when I go to a wedding, I see women wearing saris like there is no occasion now that I'm not going to wear sari on a haldi or a mehndi. Everybody, younger girls are so excited to wear sari. So that shift that has happened, I'm pretty sure because you guys have been in the game for a very long time, quite some time in fact.
Yeah.
What have you seen in terms of this shift happening from older women to now younger girls kind of also embracing the concept of sari?
I don't know whether it sounds very like to boasting too much, but I feel we have a big role to play. And because when we started, there was no other brand, honestly. There was nobody else doing saris.
Yeah, you asked for where to buy saris from, you could really name.
You couldn't count, right? And there were no online brands for sure.
Correct.
They were one of the first.
Correct.
And I feel the shift happened because now there is a like an Indian clothing. Saris were always a head turner. It was never out of
Yeah.
That was never a question. That never went off. But then it was obviously it was going towards older. Like it was migrating towards only like a certain community or the older women wearing it. The shift happened because we could give something which is very simple.
Yeah.
Something that you would just wear it for fun.
Yeah.
And we made it fun because we wore it with shoes. We wore it without spati petticoat. We wore it short.
Yeah.
We did everything possible to make it look like it is achievable.
Yeah.
And the notion of wearing matching blouses and, you know, have to be cut from the sarees pieces. It was not like denim and whatever top.
Right.
We made it that.
Right.
And we made it that you can wear whatever you feel like, however you feel like. And I think that fun aspect that we bought in with Suta was everyone was looking for that.
Yeah.
I think it was not given to them, but they wanted it.
Right.
Yeah, like a shirt with a sari and a short shirt with a sari. Right. But now if you see, there are so many great brands, and over the years their brands have come up and they're all doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Making saris absolutely cool.
Yeah.
And I feel every Indian would want to have a clothing like that, which will, anyway, it's beautiful because it hugs the body so beautifully.
Yeah.
And also to represent India, you know, it's in Indian clothing, right? At the end of the day.
It has become so like kimono. Versatile.
Yeah.
How kimono is to Japan, it is sari is like that, right? And if you go abroad, you have to pick up a sari because if it's an occasion, you have to want to show that you're an Indian.
Correct.
So people wanted it and they just didn't get options. The moment we simplified it and make it pocket friendly for youngsters to just pick it like that, there was no looking back.
And I believe your concept of sari actually being pretty cool and fluid for you to carry was translated very well from your catalog shoots. Because I believe the initial pictures that I saw of Suta, your faces were there on it. And you were styling it like with very cool glasses, jackets, white sneakers. And I was like, oh, wow, this is a representation of how you can style a sari that I see on Pinterest. But now here's a D2C brand that is also putting this in a catalog shoot for you to imagine what all you can do with it. Initially, like, who was clicking these pictures, by the way? The catalog pictures that you guys were styling?
Tanya used to shoot. Tanya is a photographer. She learned it in her college. I am Lucknow. She was in a photography club. I gifted her the camera. Thank God I did.
Yeah, I know. It
was an investment, honestly, now.
Because I wanted to be in the club, I wanted to learn photography because I was always interested in it.
Yeah.
And students being students, I didn't have the money to buy. And Sujata was working then and she gifted me the camera. I learned it. And when we started product photo shoots and we wanted to do it for NGOs, like before Suta started, we're helping them. We're doing product photo shoots. We used to say that let's do shoots in a way that people can imagine it in a natural setup.
Right.
And not make it so white backgroundy, studio-ish.
And very template-y.
Yeah, because you can't relate much then.
And it's so nice. Now it looks like an AI, you know, like it's so similar that AI can just do that.
Correct.
If you don't make it fun.
The expression is the same.
Yeah.
Because I think, and then the figure is also perfect, you know, they're beautiful.
We didn't want to make it perfect. Tanya said, just let's do it on new. And when I started doing it, only to save money. There was nothing else.
Yeah.
Somebody quoted us 1,000 rupees per product. And Tanya's like, let you just stand here. I'll click it on you and we'll be done with it.
Yeah.
So I did headless shoots for the start because I was like, so
I have not seen them.
They're all the great now. But it's all headless shoots. Okay.
Right.
And then the sarees used to sell without the head. One day she said, hey, let me just put it, you know, you're looking fine.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, let's put it. It's okay. You know, I was upset also that, you know, like, how can you just show my face like that?
Yeah.
People would think a founder showing the face is frivolous, you know?
Right.
So, but we did it. And then, it started.
I think people always said that I relate so much to the way you're draping it because it's not pinned very beautifully.
Yeah.
It looks achievable.
Yeah.
And in between, after a couple of years, we tried to change it.
The model,
the way we draped it, just because everyone was doing it. And then we realized what we are doing is more difficult because people are not able to do it. And customers called us personally saying that.
Don't do that.
They're just offended, saying that, why would you do this? You know, we just love seeing your home, the cluttered home, the cluttered road.
We were asked, ki stool kahan se kharida, parda kahan se liya aapne? Oh, look, focus on the sari. And it was absolute base setup, you know, there's nothing. I would just go down the road and we just shoot it. Then that gully became so famous. Like people would say, ki show the full house, a full lady.
People just related so much.
Yeah. Right.
That I can be that person so easily.
Right.
Is what happened, you know, I think that worked.
Right. And you guys have also now expanded into other product categories, right? So what all are they? And I believe you have also started a men's category. How is that working out?
So men's category, so there are two sub-brands we want to create. One, Adore, we just launched.
Hmm.
Though there's just one collection, we'll be launching many more this
mm-hmm.
year, next year. And we are also launching a menswear section, which will have like just targeted menswear launches. And it will also be called Dash by Suta.
Right.
But it will be a separate brand.
Right.
So we are having three brands. The plan is to also have a third, which is kidswear. But we'll see what to do about that.
Right.
But we have gotten a phenomenal response. So because
yeah.
we have kept it in the stores, exhibitions, we've seen great sales happening. So we'll do it. It's no going back on that. So yeah, these two are confirmed.
But at least with men's also, do you have the same creative thought in terms of what you're presenting?
Oh, definitely. So we wanted to make menswear more fun.
Yeah.
And also to... you know, because men are usually a little, intimidated by a just a women's brand. And
yeah.
I think a sub brand would make much more sense.
Yeah.
And people till date have loved what we have launched in the stores. It's not online. And
there are a couple of products online, but we've
yeah.
heard customer feedback saying, "Mere saari kaat ke my husband makes his shirts."
Oh.
And then we are
like,
okay,
so
the fabric they like. So,
oh.
and there's
yeah.
nothing like that in the
right.
in the market, right?
Yeah, and then people have been saying that we're big fans of your brands, but hamare liye kuch to bana do. And whatever you make, we'll pick it because we love the work you do
yeah.
and the fabric that you make. So,
yeah.
I think it's just a natural extension for us.
Yeah. But let's talk about the fabric now, because that's something that I want to touch on. From your brand, it just feels like you guys really prioritize quality and the fabric in what you offer. So I want to know more about the fabric and the sourcing and the craftsmanship around it. And the earlier point that you mentioned that you wanted to do something that really would help out the workers in
yeah.
that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that. What do you provide? How did you figure out the sourcing? And also, how are you helping the worker community in order to also grow as Suta is growing as a brand?
Yeah. I'll tell you, we have always prioritized comfort over anything else.
Hmm.
And we feel that if you're comfortable, you can be yourself much better. And you look more beautiful if you're yourself.
Yeah.
So that's always been the motto and the you know thing that our ma put in our heads.
Yeah.
You know, while making the clothes that she made, and when she whenever she would buy a store bought you know bought clothes on me, she would put it on. I would be always very uncomfortable because I didn't like the anything polyester
yeah.
or anything poking my skin
yeah.
or anything you know which is not soft.
Yeah.
I would stand very stiff. It was not soft.
Yeah.
So quality is absolutely the key, you know. The
yeah.
Even the weavers, we pay them a little more than the market rate because we say that our quality check is going to be stringent.
Right.
But also at the same time, we never reject the products. So if
right.
let's say a weaver has given us 100 products, out
okay.
of which 20 are, they're bad, they're not woven fine and they are defect, I can see it.
Yeah.
So we don't say that, oh, 20 is your headache, take it back, do whatever.
Right.
We don't do that. We
right.
we buy it, we have a deduction,
yeah.
but we buy everything. So there's nothing on their head. So
yeah.
weavers working with Suta are absolutely happy. There's one is promising them work.
Yeah.
And how we found the weaver base is, of course, when I told you about when our dad was posted in West Bengal and we traveled with him to find weavers.
Hmm.
So we traveled and we kept meeting weavers' families and figuring out what are the problems they have. The biggest problem they have is not constant work.
Okay.
That's the biggest problem. They're saying, even if you pay me less, I'm okay, but don't give me work now and then run away tomorrow. And then
right.
what do I do with it?
Right.
They can't, they have to run a loom, right? It's
right.
like they have to constantly run it to
right.
make money.
And the worst thing is that they always have middlemen and
yeah.
they get the money late in
late.
Hand
yeah.
and not as much as they deserve.
Yeah.
So those things were an issue and we figured that we can solve it by just constantly making sure that they're getting work.
Right.
If a collection is also flop,
yeah.
we make sure the next collection or the next to next collection is something that they would get work with. So it's if it's an ikkat one, we have to launch another ikkat no matter what.
Yeah. yeah.
So that's how we work.
So
and,
how do we work with them is consignment. So once they deliver the product to us, once that we give the design to the weavers, and the community works on it. And not just weavers, craftsmen. Let's say they are doing hand embroidery or they're
yeah.
doing ombre dyeing or block printing, whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
So once the work is done, they submit the work and we give them the money immediately after the quality check is done.
Right.
Quality check is the key. So for
okay.
them, and all the weavers know, our entire team, they know how much we stress on that. So
yeah.
that's like, we don't change even.
Yeah. And the kind of fabric we wanted to make was So one was Malmal, which we call us Made in Heaven Mal. And we feel that that's one fabric which becomes your skin and becomes you. And we wanted to make more products out of it and give the world that. Of course, it was there. It's not like we invented it. But we wanted to make more products out of it to make it more festive also. Also to make it natural, simply the way it is. And I know that anyone can make that plain pink sari with yellow tassels maybe.
Yeah.
But we just wanted to celebrate it much more.
Right.
So our focus has been that.
Right.
And
right.
We keep working with or inventing also fabrics, mixing maybe modal with mal with linen, and you know all these mix and matches.
And then the community is very happy, you know, to experiment, to get new things done, and that also happens because you're promising work.
Right.
You know, otherwise they will never experiment. They'll say, "What if you don't take it?" or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's one. And also how we help the community is also that we do a lot of community activities. For example, planting trees around that. We do a lot of training, you know, for them to understand. And also there's always a lot of ad hoc work around the work that happens, putting tassels, washing the saris, putting the fall.
Right.
So people who are unable to do weaving, not everyone knows, right? They're not as skilled.
Yeah.
So there could be old men who have stopped weaving because they can't see now.
Right.
So they can put the fall easy.
Right.
So there's this whole group of people who come to the place, and so many times new people who have joined our company, they have said that, why don't you just make them sit in one place and, you know, they'll just finish it faster. There'll be no bottleneck. I'm like, we have to work around them, not the other way around.
Correct.
We can't get it done because we started as Impact, right? As a brand who is trying for impact, striving for impact.
Right.
So women who, let's say they're pregnant or they have young kids or old men, they come to the center, they pick up the saris, they sign, they go back home, they work at their own pace, they come back and submit it, and then they get the money.
Okay.
So it's all developed around them, the way they work, and hence I think we flourish because they get that freedom to work. So they can how the weaving setup is, there's a house and backyard mein they weave. And they're all backyards like open together, and the kids all playing each other, kisi ke ghar pe khana kha rahe, somebody's having food there. So it's a very community driven place.
Right.
So everyone's helping each other.
Right.
All they need is promise of work, and I think we just do that.
Right. And by eliminating the middlemen, you kind of have helped them in getting the right pay. In fact, what they actually deserve.
Yeah, it's difficult. I'm not saying that we have completely eliminated them.
Yeah.
We try hard, but most of the cases we have eliminated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, sure, it's work in progress, but
at least
it has already started.
Yeah,
I mean, this is the reason why we also need more women-led businesses, because
think like that.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's I feel personally it's a completely different way of approaching a problem, right?
True.
You are a for-profit business, but at the same time, you're also making sure that while you grow, the people around you and the communities around you also grow.
True. And plant, right?
Yeah.
Why will you spend money there? And why should I pay somebody to go water the plants? But in the long run, we just want the whole community to look. Also,
it has to
thrive.
I'll tell you one incident, which is very beautiful and touching. It happened last time we went to the village. There's one old lady sitting in the Nangan, and we had organized a, get together, like a lunch thing for all the weavers who were working there and the families. We were rushing from a shoot to that direction. We were walking fast. And she said, "Arey, mama, come here. Sit." Like in Bengali, she said, "Come and sit with me." And we were like, "We're rushing. We don't have time." She said, "No, sit for 2 minutes.
Itna mujhe kahan time milta itna tum log saath.
To paani to pee lo, baith ke. Thoda thake hue lag raha." I said, "No, we can go." Then she said, "2 minutes, baitho." Then we sat there. She said, "Look around."
No, first, though, she stopped talking for tamtha. I'm getting restless, thinking, "What is she doing?"
Very calmly, you know.
She's
like,
so
calm,
like I'm seeing something is happening. You know, like so calm.
Yeah.
And she said, "Just look around." I said, "Now I'll sit and do that." You have to rush. They're all waiting there. She said, "Look around and tell me, what do you see?" And I'm like, "The village is looking pretty and very neat and very clean." Yeah. Say, "No, look properly.
Yeah.
Tell me
what has changed.
Think about the first time you had come to today, what has changed?" And then we got goosebumps.
Oh my gosh. She meant she was showing us that because of you guys, this village has just transformed. You don't see that.
Oh, that's so nice.
That's
I'm getting goosebumps hearing
that. Always get it. Always.
We cried. We sat and we cried. And,
yeah.
and we were like, she said, not just the look wise, the way everyone is empowered.
The women especially.
Women are running, they're getting their kids along. They were never out of their homes.
Yeah.
There were so many cases of like domestic violence. There was women who would cry and say, "I don't get to do this, do that." Now everyone is like, they have like groups, communities talking together, powerful women doing like people learning, women learning computer, and they are working in the place, at the place. It's amazing the way it's changed. So it's, yeah.
I mean, kudos for you guys to being a big part of it and spearheading this mission. This was a great conversation. I just have one last question for both of you, and I want to know, what are your views in terms of the future of Indian ethnic wear in India and across the world? How do you see it growing, and how do you see more kind of women coming up to the scene and kind of taking this mission forward? Because it's not just about fashion. I feel when it's about Indian ethnic wear, unlike the Western wear, where you have to think about silhouettes in a certain way, dresses, pants, whatever that is, Indian ethnic is much more fluid in that way, right? So it's of course, it's about fashion, but also at the same time, it's about story, it's about the sourcing, it's about the native craft and where it comes from, and how you're taking it forward and letting someone else wear it. What do you see is the future of this specific space, and where does Sutta sit in it?
I think because there's so many brands offering great quality product now, I think the focus shifting to quality and innovation, these two is going to transform the whole industry. Because now everybody else in the entire world, I think they're seeing India as a place where there is beautiful silhouettes, fabric, craftsmanship coming across with great quality. And earlier that was the only thing that was keeping us so behind. People would think that, you know, this Indian quality would be poor, like how somebody just have like notions like that.
Yeah.
And I feel more and more brands are coming and proving it wrong. Exports are happening in a brilliant way. If you see the kind of work that happens in India, I don't think any other country offers this diverse craftsmanship. The finer details, the master weavers and the master craftsmen, they're there. It was just never getting the stage.
Yeah.
And now with the advent of e-commerce and government also supporting businesses and so many schemes coming out, so many people are doing work, good work. And also looking at, sending it out. People knowing that there's a big mark. Like if it's come from India, it's a big thing. Like how Made in India has become big.
Yeah.
It is just like the way it's like a badge of pride now.
Yeah, I think everybody is accepting it now with a lot of knowledge, being shared across the internet. Corporates gifting have shifted to all things which is related to craft and handmade, you know. And we have recently gotten beautiful orders of hand painted frames.
Okay.
So these things are catching up. In corporates, they are also asking us to design their uniforms with native fabric, native crafts, so that they can celebrate and talk better, represent India better. So I think these are catching up, and there's no looking back. Fast fashionists will be there.
Yeah.
Because it's very difficult to replace it, but I think Indian ethnic is eating up that space in a much larger way, in a faster pace.
But how was your experience going from like a digital brand to now opening retail stores? Like how was that experience, and did any of you have a past experience in kind of figuring out VM, like how the layout is going to be, what kind of products need to be there, and now going and opening like stores in one of the most premium properties in India?
It's a long journey, and it was a very difficult one, to be honest, and it's a very different game. I wouldn't say I've cracked it, but we are profitable in all the stores, which is a good sign, but there's a lot to learn. I think it's two different strategies completely, offline and online.
So I
think loving it, because it's also online. The way online works is every time you have to do the mehnat, money comes in. Offline, it starts expanding much better, so people start knowing about you, the word spreads, and you will always keep growing. So they're two very different games. We are loving it now. We have 8 stores already done. 9th is going to open in December this month.
I'll tell you, we realized that there are people who know and love the brand in all over India, but they haven't bought anything. They know exactly the product names to color to everything. They haven't bought, and they're used to buying physically. And hence to, you know, get to those audiences and, you know, to give them the feeling of wearing and seeing themselves. I think that was needed. And we did a lot of exhibitions throughout, and we realized, you know, we have to go offline and give that experience to sit there, breathe the Sutta fragrance and, you know, try them out. So I think it's a sure shot win game for us.
Yeah.
Physical is necessary.
Yeah.
And I hope, touch wood, that it brings success.
If you'd like to check out the fantastic offering of Suta, you can visit suta.in. You'll find the link in the episode description. Thanks for listening in, and please subscribe to the show to catch the next episode. You can follow us on Instagram to stay in touch and get all the updates. Our Instagram handle is vision.nari. That's vision.nari. If you know a visionary that I should feature on this podcast, write to me at thevisionarypodcast@gmail.com. That's thevisionnari podcast@gmail.com. This podcast is produced by Launchora, a storytelling and creative learning platform. Theme music is created by Diala Swain. She's a uniquely talented music producer from New Zealand. Do check out her music on SoundCloud or follow the link in the description. I'll see you guys soon with a new visionary. Have a great day.